John 15:5, you know, things change. Over the years, things have changed, even in this church. Things don't stay the same. Sometimes we get nostalgic about the way things used to be, but you know, things aren't that way anymore. And you just gotta burn your bridges, like Nelda says, and just go on forward because you can't go backwards. Well, you know, we have a whole different crew here. We got a lot of new people that weren't around when we first started sending out missionaries, and we got a lot of young kids that, well, they're just basically taking our place, you know, and even though I'm not the oldest missionary, we are getting up there, you know, we're getting older and older and older, and I don't guess we can undo that. So sooner or later, some of you younger folks are just going to have to take over. And if you don't get the vision, if you don't get the faith, well, then the work just dies out. Isn't that right? You know, so what we need to do is we need to know what's next. You know, what, where do we go from here? There's no use, you know, figuring out what we did wrong in the past necessarily. It's where do we go from here? What do we do now? And is missions worthwhile now? I mean, can we do more now? Is there more to be done? You know, there's a whole lot of people in the world that have not heard the gospel. I don't mean that they've rejected the gospel or they don't like it or they've never heard it really persuasively told. I mean, they've never, ever heard. Don't have a clue about the gospel. There are people right here in San Antonio that don't have a clue. Nobody has ever told them. I don't mean they weren't listening. They didn't pay attention in church. I'm talking about people who go to church every Sunday, and nobody has ever told them the gospel. There's still a whole lot to do, and it's an important thing to do. Well, we could say all of that, but I want to read you a verse here in John chapter 15, verse 5. He says, I am the vine. This is Jesus speaking. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. I mean, Jesus said, without me, you can do nada. Zero. Zip. Nothing. You know what that means in Greek? It means nothing. Nothing. You can't do anything without me, Jesus said. First thing that comes to mind is that this is a confirmation of something that has been said over and over and over again. Old Testament, New Testament. It's been repeated I don't know how many times. And that's that Jesus Christ is God. Because if he isn't God, that means diddly squat. That means nothing. I mean, can you imagine it? Here the Jehovah's Witness will tell you, Jesus isn't God. He's just a very high angel up there in the hierarchy. He's the highest angel. Well then, what could that possibly mean? You're telling me without the angel we can do nothing if we have God? I mean, if it's true that he's not God, what could that possibly mean? I mean, with God, I can understand it. But if he's saying, just this one person? No, this is a confirmation of a fact. And that's that Jesus Christ is God. I cannot compromise with Jehovah's Witnesses. I cannot compromise with Luz del Mundo, with Mormon, with Muslim. I cannot compromise with any group that does not understand that Jesus Christ is very God. Amen. The eternal God. The only true God. Amen. Jesus Christ. There can be no compromise here. Now let me explain something to you because this is a very important issue. This is a very important point because if Jesus isn't God, we are all idolaters because we worship him as God. We claim him to be God. We worship him as God. We exalt no other name higher than his name. Not the name of Jehovah. No other name. Do you know how many times in the Bible it clarifies this? It clarifies it so many times that only someone who absolutely refuses to believe it could possibly make the mistake and think that he is not God. It is said in those words. In the beginning, you know, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How many times does he have to say it? Didn't Thomas come to Jesus Christ, bow down to him, and say, my Lord and my God? Doesn't it say that those wise men that came from the east, when they came and saw the young child in that house, that they came and bowed down before him and worshiped him? But if he's not God, we're all found idolaters. But if he is God, the Bible says, you deny the Son, you've denied the Father. Now he is God. He would not have been able to say that if he was not God. Without me, you can do nothing. Let me tell you, if He's not God, we don't even need Him. All we need is God. If God be for us, who can be against us? We don't need Jesus if He's not God. We don't need Mary. I'm sorry, we don't, and there's no room for compromise here. We don't need Mary. We don't need Peter. We don't need any of us. We're just all humans. If we fail, and a whole lot of us will. If we fail, God's still strong. If we're wrong, God's still right. If we mess up, God keeps right on going. He doesn't even slow down. He doesn't miss a beat. We don't need anybody but God. But Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. That's a confirmation to me. What Jesus Christ is saying is that I'm all you need. What He's saying is, I am the one you need. There's nobody else. I'm the only one. In other words, if you have me, you have God. You have Jehovah. You have all the angels behind you. You have every possibility because you've got me. This means that Jesus Christ, you know, let me tell you something. There is no room for compromise in this. What are we going to do? Are we going to go over to some country and tell them it's okay? You know, I saw a debate. John and Karen taped us a debate on, I guess it was Larry King. And it was about, well, you know, what about this war, you know, and basically saying, you know, is war okay? But they had on this debate a good number of evangelicals and then a number of, well, there was a Catholic priest and a Methodist bishop and I don't know, a couple other, I'm not even sure they were Christians. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure they weren't. But basically, some of them were saying, well, this is the truth. And the others are saying, well, you know, what is truth? You know, what? How can we know? I mean, we can't be so dogmatic. And, oh, yes, we can. Matter of fact, if we're not going to be dogmatic, why bother? You know, when I first got to Mexico, I was a young kid. I remembered watching my dad be a missionary, and so I knew more or less what missionaries do. And I got to working with some other missionaries. And, you know, I noticed that there is a certain amount of fear among missionaries, and they didn't want to preach on the streets. And they were a little bit afraid to speak out and say what we know is true. Well, let me tell you something. When I first got to Mexico, I didn't like it. I didn't like Mexico. I know that sounded like a surprise, but I didn't like Mexico. I thought it was ugly. I don't eat nopales. It really got to me because when I was, you know, here in Texas, they take these prickly pear cactuses and they cut them down and burn them. They get rid of them. In Mexico, they plant them in rows and they harvest them and make tacos out of them. I'm not joking. When I first saw them planting all those things in rows, I thought, what in the world? Those things are planted. They're all in rows. I didn't like Mexico. But you know one thing that came to me? I said, you know, here they're saying, I said, why don't we preach against the idolatry? Why don't we preach against the false doctrines? Why don't we tell them what is truly true? They need to know, right? Isn't that why we were sent? Isn't that why we had a mission conference? You got to go and tell them. They're dying. They've got to be told. It's urgent. And they'd say, well, no. If you preach these things, well, they're going to kick you out. Or they're going to stone you. And, you know, that kind of scared me. If we preach these things, they're going to stone me. You're going to kick me out. They're going to do something bad to me. Well, I kept, you know, going along with them and because I didn't know any better. I was just a young guy. And then it dawned upon me. Here I am in a country I don't like. I don't enjoy living here. I don't have any friends. I don't have any fellowship. I don't have a church where I go to and I feel, you know, welcome and everything's fine. I'm going to suffer all of this and then not tell them? I said, no way. If I'm going to do all this, I'm at least going to do what I came here to do. And I got out there and I'd start standing out there saying, the virgin can't save you. These idols are lies. The Bible says not to have idols. And you know, the other missionaries just kind of distance themselves a little bit and say they don't want to preach with me. They don't want to be around me. There's a problem here. Let me tell you something. There's no room for compromise. If we're going to have a mission conference, let's have a mission conference about doing some good. If we're going to talk about preaching the gospel, well, let's preach the real gospel. Let's not preach some false gospel or some easy gospel. Let's get the whole thing out. The Bible doesn't say, help the nations along. The Bible says, teach the nations. Teach them. They need to know. Now, we sing these songs about the gospel. Let me tell you, the first step of the gospel is, who is Jesus Christ? You cannot preach the gospel and you cannot help anybody anywhere in the world if you're not willing to take a stand on who Jesus Christ is and what He did for us. There is no gospel beyond that. If you don't know that and are not willing to say that, now, let me tell you something. If Jesus is God, well, then Mary's not. And if it's a sin to worship someone who is not God, then you shouldn't worship Mary. I'm sorry. And God's not going to accept that. God is not going to allow someone else to receive His worship. God is jealous. I'm not going to let you kiss my wife. God's not going to let you worship Mary. It's just that simple. You know, a guy told me, he said, well, what's wrong? What's wrong with Mary? I mean, you can't tell me that. And I said, well, it's the same reason why you don't share your wife. It's exactly the same reason. God is jealous. You cannot preach the gospel without standing firm on who is to be worshipped and who is not. There is no mission work at all if you're not willing to stand on this confirmation that Jesus Christ is God and He is the only one to be worshipped. That means we make absolutely no compromise with Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Catholics, or anybody else who has a problem with this doctrine. Jesus Christ is God, the only true God, and the only one that should be worshipped. He's not one of the saints, He's the only saint. He's not one of the priests, He's the only priest. He's not one of the ways, He's the only way. That's Jesus Christ. Now you know it also has some information. He says, without me, ye can do nothing. Jesus said this. He knew it all along. He told the apostles, without me, ye can do nothing. Nothing. Without me, ye cannot know God. Nobody can know God without Jesus Christ. I've mentioned it before, but there's a real problem with Alcoholics Anonymous when they leave out the name of God. Who is this God we're praying to? Who is this superior power? You cannot deny God's name and at the same time know Him or worship Him. There is no way. There is none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. No other name. It's that name that's important. And if we're not willing to stand firm on the name, that is pray in His name, meet in His name, preach in His name, baptize in His name, and do all things in the name of Jesus Christ, then what good is the gospel at all? Without me, Jesus says, you can't do nothing. Think of the arrogance of that statement. Without me, you can do nothing. There's nothing at all you can do without me. You cannot please God without me. Jesus says, you can't please God without me. Do any of you honestly think that, you know, I have a real problem. I get a newsletter from a Pentecostal group, and I mean they preach hard on holiness. Holiness, holiness, holiness. We gotta live pure lives. We gotta be pure. I have a problem preaching all this holiness and strong works because I do believe it makes some people think they're actually pleasing God by their own holiness. You cannot please God as a Muslim. I'm sorry. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but you cannot please God as anything but a strong believing Christian. Someone who says, I know who Jesus Christ is and I'm not ashamed of Him. That is all. Jesus says, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you will deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. There's no middle ground. There's no possibility of compromise. Without Jesus Christ, you cannot know God. You cannot please God. Simple, no? Let me tell you something. Without Jesus Christ, you can't save yourself. Without Jesus Christ, you cannot be blessed. There's no blessing outside of Jesus Christ. And make no mistake, prosperity is not a blessing without Jesus Christ. It's a curse. I'm not trying to say something extreme to get your attention. I believe this is exactly what Jesus is saying. There is no blessing outside of Jesus Christ. I don't care how rich the people in Qatar are, that country that everybody is a millionaire. I don't care how rich they are. They're not blessed because they don't have Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, they're nothing. They have nothing except a curse, because it's harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. You know what that means in the Greek? It means it's harder for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. That's exactly what it means. No explanation, nothing more than that. It's just impossible. That's why riches are a curse if you don't have Jesus Christ. You cannot be blessed. This nation cannot be blessed when it turns its back on Jesus Christ. All it can do is wait for a horrendous, horrendous judgment that will devour the adversaries. And the riches themselves, the very prosperity, the very power that supposedly comes with all this is a curse. It's a curse on anyone that has it, because then they're damned to hell while they live. They cannot come to God. They cannot repent. They cannot be broken. Without Jesus Christ, you cannot even be blessed. Let me tell you something. That's all the people in the world. What about you, Christian? Without Christ, you cannot beat sin. Don't talk to me about your holiness. You give up TV, what does that mean? That doesn't mean anything. You want to give up Christmas? You want to give up, you know, eating fat food or fast food or whatever? You can have anything you want. You can't beat sin without Jesus Christ. Just try it. I don't mean, you know, try not lying for one day. But even try that. Go ahead. Try that. Try beating your sin. You can't do it. I've tried it. Boy, you talk about discouraging. There is no holiness without Jesus Christ. There's no salvation without Jesus Christ. There's no beating sin without Jesus Christ. There's no beating the devil without Jesus Christ. What are you going to do? You know, you're going to claim the blood and shout at it and scream at it. And what are you going to do? You've got no power. You've got nothing. I had a young lady come over to my house last year. Said she was demon possessed. So I asked her a few questions. And basically I told her, well, if you're demon possessed, there's nothing I can do for you except pray for you. Because I got no power. I can't do anything. Jesus can, but I can't. Well, it turned out she wasn't demon possessed. And I pointed out to her her mistakes. But the fact is, what I want to tell you is that if someone is demon possessed, I can't help you. I don't have the power. Only Jesus Christ can help you. Amen. Only Jesus Christ has power over the devil. I never heard of anybody else that beat him. Jesus Christ, he says, without me, you can do nothing. There's nothing at all you can do. You can't beat the devil. You can't save a soul. You can't persuade anybody, Christian. You preachers go downtown. What do? Come up with the best message possible. Let's get it a little bit more. Come on, guys. We got to do a little bit better job. Well, you do the best job you can. Without Jesus Christ, you can't convert anyone. If that's Calvinism, mark me down. You can't do it. I'm sorry. You can be the most persuasive person in the world, and you cannot save a soul. Matter of fact, all you'll do is confuse the issue if you get them saved and God wasn't in it. Boy, that will confuse you. That'll confuse them. You got to understand, only Jesus Christ can save a soul. That's why you should not ever compromise the gospel. Ever. You compromise the gospel, you should never compromise repentance. Don't try to make it easier. It's got to be a miracle one way or the other. You don't have to make it easier or more palatable. You don't have to make it nicer. You don't have to mince your words. You can stand out there and just say the truth straight out. No malice, but say the truth straight out, and it doesn't hinder Jesus Christ at all. He can save anybody he wants. You think there's somebody out there too stubborn for God to convince? You know, there's a lot of stubborn people out there, but God could convince them. Well, for one thing, he doesn't have to take away their life. He could just keep on banging away at them. He's got all eternity to convince them if he wants. He doesn't have to mark a line and say, okay, now no more. If he does that, it's because he got fed up with them. But let me tell you something. He could. There is absolutely nothing you can do without Jesus Christ. That's the information. Now I want to talk to you about the exhortation. Okay? He says, without me, you can do nothing. But what does that mean? Because he's saying this to them before he sends them out. He's saying, Peter, without me, you can do nothing. And I'm going to enjoy watching you flop around. No. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, just don't get too far away from me. Don't get yourself way ahead of me. Don't lag behind. Stick with me. He said, because without me, you can do nothing. But what else? Through Christ, I can do all things. Oh, you think about the exhortation that he's telling you here. He's not just saying, I'm important. He's saying, I'm with you. All the way unto the end of the world. I'm with you. Wow, what an exhortation. What does that tell us about our blessings in the past? Have you ever seen somebody saved? That means God was with us. Isn't that what that means? Have you ever seen any victory in our lives? You know, some people are waiting for a real feeling. Oh, Lord, it's been so long since I felt you. What do you want a feeling for? He said, without me, you can't do nothing. Just look back. Did he ever do anything? Yeah, he did. He's with you. He hasn't abandoned you. He was with you then. He told you, without me, you can do nothing. And then he did some things. Amen. And you can say, look what God has done. Look what I have seen God do. You know, I just look back. Sometimes I get real discouraged because I bang my head against the wall sometimes and I can't get anywhere. And sometimes I go so long without getting a decent study or a decent contact. And I wonder, Lord, what's going on? Have you abandoned me? Maybe I'm in sin. Maybe God's mad at me. I don't know what's wrong. Why can't? And all I got to do is just stop and think, look at all these brothers and sisters sitting around me. Look at all the people that have been saved. Look how many people have been baptized. You know something? I remember one time, Joe, in Leon, when we had a line of people, I guess there might have been 75 people standing in line. We had two people baptized and walking right in. They were walking in by line. We got a video of it. Them walking line after line, walking right down into the water. One of them baptizing them this direction. The other one baptizing them that direction. And it takes 45 minutes to get them all done. What, do you think that was our preaching? I don't know how fluent you think I am in Spanish, but that wasn't our preaching. Man, there's some days I can't get it out right for nothing. Let me tell you something. That was God. Amen. Tell me God hasn't worked among us. We didn't pull any punches. We didn't make it easy. And we got a lot of witnesses here. When we preach, we don't make it easy. We don't pull any punches. We don't mince any words. We never make it easy on anybody. You know something? And if they look like if they say, you know, that was mighty fine preaching, we think we failed. If they say, wow, that was a good message, we think, boy, we didn't get anything across these people. We're not looking for easy converts. We're looking for miracles. Amen. And the Lord's done a few miracles. He's done hundreds of miracles, hasn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. All our blessings. You know something else it proves? It proves his interest. He's interested in us. He says, without me, he can do nothing. And then look at all he's done. He's interested in us. He's right along with us. And he's interested in the outcome. The only reason he said that was so you would know he's there. Don't get away from him. Now what's the exhortation? If only by Jesus Christ we can do anything. This church can't do anything. You can give your money till you're blue in the face. I don't know if giving money would make you blue in the face, but you can do that and you can't save a soul. So is giving money the answer? Okay. You can send out missionaries till you're blue in the face. I need another metaphor. But you can send out missionaries until it hurts. Is that the answer? I'm sorry, that's not the answer. You know what the answer is? We need to get a hold of Jesus Christ. It's not convincing people. It's convincing Jesus. We need to convince Jesus. This is the exhortation to prayer. This is the exhortation to seeking God's face. He is saying, stay close to me. Keep looking at me. Because when he's ready to move, there's nothing that can stop it. Nothing can stand in his way. He'll save people that nobody would have ever guessed. This Juvenal says, I thank the Lord that you guys got here and preached the gospel in time for my mother to be saved before she died. He can save old ladies that are hardened in a strong traditional religion that would never have believed on their own. They'd have never sought him out. They'd have never read their Bible. But they're saved. We're going to meet them in glory. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But without him, I can do nothing. This church can do nothing. No lost sinner can do anything without Jesus Christ. If we can get a hold of Jesus Christ and convince him to bless us again, let me tell you something. This year is going to be better than all the years before. Anybody remember that old temple? That one that Solomon built? You guys remember that one? Are you going to say this one is just as glorious? Oh, no, you'd say it's not as glorious. But it can be. All that has to happen is that glory of God to fill this one. It don't have to have just as tall a timbers or columns, or it doesn't have to be gold embroidered. It doesn't have to have seas of brass. All it has to do is have that cloud of glory come in and fill it. And it will be just as glory. And you'll say this is even more glorious than anything that's happened before. You see, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, but without him, I can do nothing. Amen.